Wise Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 6, 2014. Folks, if you need any help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can call me about that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, and I do take emergency phone calls. My phone call for emergency is my cell phone, like most people, 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And I'm about to give you our blog site, which is a hub. But remember, any of you folks out there that do not listen by or use the internet, rather, because a lot of you folks out there listen on satellite, so, for example, if you need a question about anything answered, you can call me for that also. But you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog is at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com is not just about this program. It's also about this is Mission Watch, and that's what I mean. It's not just about Prophecy Hour, but it's about Mission Watch and all the radio that we do and all about our ministry. So you can find that as a hub for everything. And I seem to be flooding that up, so I'll just move right along. But visit prophecyhour.com. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on today's guest. Or tonight, wherever you may be at it, depend today or tonight, right? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray the radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor my guess. Please give everybody out there ears and wish to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Hearing the truth, really, that's quite a concept. I wonder if we hear, where do we hear the truth nowadays? Do we hear it from the national media? Do you hear it from your politicians? Really an interesting topic, I would think. Anyway, I'm bringing back on Ben. He's one of our favorite guests. He's the author of Unsung Davids and Islamophobia. If you haven't read those books, you should get those books, especially with Hillary Clinton maybe going to be in the works for the next election. There's a little chapter in there about the Clintons that you need to read, and that is in the book Unsung Davids. Anyway, well, let's now welcome Ben Barak or Barak, actually. And we will talk to him about it. Are you there with me, Ben?
You just can't help yourself.
That was a total accident. I wasn't trying. It came out of my mouth, and I went, wow, did I do that? But I changed it real quick, you know.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before we go into anything, I'm sure you heard me talking about Unsung Davids. Tell us a little bit about that chapter with Hillary, about, you know, the Clintons in it. I think that's real important.
That's a chapter about a guy named Peter Paul. And Peter Paul, back in 2000, sought to enter into a deal with Bill Clinton, after Bill Clinton left office in, this would have been early, 2001. Well, it was in the summer of 2000. He negotiated through an intermediary a deal with Bill Clinton to serve as a rainmaker with him after he left office, because he had entered into a deal with Stan Lee of Marvel Comics fame. And, after the, Peter Paul was a Hollywood mogul, who put on a humongous gala in, the summer of 2000, there was coming back from the Clintons, it was, okay, we'll let Bill Clinton work for you after he leaves office, but in return, we'd like you to put on this this gala, kind of this farewell to Bill and rah-rah, go get him, Hillary, for New York Senate campaign. And it was a Hollywood A-list at the time. Brad Pitt was there, Jennifer Aniston, John Travolta, all these celebrities. And essentially, to make a long story short, shortly thereafter the gala, the Clintons reneged, pulled the rug out from Peter Paul, and his company ended up being bankrupted. When he pushed back, he found himself in a Brazilian prison, because that's where one of his businesses was. He found himself in the corridor of death prison for about 2 years. And then he was extradited back to the U.S., spent some time in prison, and just throughout this whole process was fighting the Clintons to get the truth out. And, you know, he got press, he got publicity from some circles, but it never really took off. And in the end, he produced a video called Hillary Uncensored that came out in about in 2007. So this was in the run-up to the presidential campaign between Hillary and Barack Obama. And this video went insanely viral. In fact, things have changed a lot even since 2007. But at the time, Google Video, which hadn't yet merged with YouTube, Google Video had a feature called the top 100 videos, you know, at any given time.
Right.
His video was getting anywhere between 50 and 150,000 views per day. And it
really?
Was the number one Google video for several days in a row. Then all of a sudden, and I will remember the day like it was yesterday for a long time. I'll remember where I was. It was a Saturday morning in early November of 2007, and I had gotten up to check and see how it was doing, and it wasn't there anymore. It wasn't even on Google. It had been pulled from Google. It wasn't even in the and it was put back, but it wasn't even in the top 100 videos anymore. It had been completely pulled from the Google top 100 list. Now, prior to the day after that, he had appeared on Fox News television the next day on Sunday. And on that Sunday, it was really essentially a hit piece. The reason that he was on Fox was because of the video, because it had skyrocketed, because it had done so well. They booked him on a Sunday morning Fox News show. Well, it is very strange that it was one day after Google took it completely out of the top 100 videos. I mean, that doesn't happen. I mean, if it drops, that's one thing. It was pulled out of the top 100. So the next day he was on Fox News by phone because he was still in jail. And the way they did the piece, the segment, it was with I could see the guy's face, but I can't think of his name. Eric Sean at Fox News Channel. He was the guy that interviewed Paul, and they had him on the phone, and they showed a picture of him in an orange jumpsuit, and
really?
they let him talk for a short time, and then they went to two pro-Hillary guys who basically just smeared him, and it actually was counterproductive for him. But in the end, his crime, I mean, if he was guilty of a crime, and it looks as though he was, his maximum sentence should have been 10 years. He
right.
is right now serving a sentence longer than the maximum allowable. And don't forget that part of, and it had to do with stock manipulation, as the Clintons were wrecking his company. But don't forget that part of that time served was in a Brazilian prison in the corridor of death. So he's being railroaded, and I think he's due to be out this year. But I contend, and I'll wrap this up. I contend that that this video, which got I want to say about 8 million views in the early 2008, the late 2007 time frame, I think that it had an impact on the Democratic primaries,
really?
And it may have actually contributed in a great way to Hillary's defeat to Barack Obama.
Ugh! Wait a second. Did we really want that? Well, you know, there bears a question. Who? I think that Obama, you know, their agendas are a little bit different, you know, of course.
Well, Hillary is more seasoned, but they're both Alinskyites. And frankly, I as bad as this president is, there's a part of me that believes Hillary would have been worse because she would have been so much more conniving, so much more diabolical, and so much more politically seasoned and savvy. I think that she would have been able to push the ball further down the field without Americans getting without the backlash. And I'm
right.
holding out hope that the backlash from Americans is coming. I just don't know when and in what form.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the name of that video? Is it still available, per se?
Yeah, it's called Hillary Uncensored.
Hillary Uncensored.
You can find it on YouTube, yep. Mm-hmm.
And find it on YouTube. Yeah, that's diabolical. The Clintons are diabolical. And that goes back to when I was first coming into the program, I said, truth, you know. It amazes me with all the truth out there about some of these worst things, and we're talking about Hillary now and the Clintons back, all the evil things that they did, and, you know, they brushed right past it, you know, because nobody wants to talk about the truth anymore.
Well, and it wasn't just them. If you remember, George W. Bush administration did not hold the Clintons accountable. And
right.
I believe it has a lot to do with the relationship between Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush. I believe that George W. Bush's hands were tied. I'm currently in the process of reading a book called Compromised, written in 1994, I believe, by a former CIA agent named Terry Reid. Terry Reid, and this book is exhaustive. It's full of documents. It's full of photos. It's very detailed. It's excruciating in its detail. This guy has me convinced that he is telling the truth. Now, what he contends is that in the mid-1980s, during the Reagan administration, George H.W. Bush, who was the vice president and former CIA director, commissioned essentially Oliver North to work with the CIA to open up to set up shop in Arkansas to fight the Contras. If you remember the Iran-Contra scandal,
sure,
that blew open in 1987, or actually 1986. The reason that scandal came to the public attention was because an American cargo plane full of weapons had crashed in Nicaragua, and it was being flown by a guy named William Cooper, who was killed in the crash. But according to Reid, and all of North testified to, and the narrative that became after that in damage control was that the U.S. was selling weapons to Iran in exchange for hostages and to fund the Contras. But in reality, according to Reid, what was really happening was that a deal had been struck between the CIA and Bill Clinton, who was at the time the governor of Arkansas, to set up shop in Arkansas to build an airport, to build manufacturing plants that were there to manufacture weapons that would not be traceable, that would then be flown to Nicaragua to support the Contras. Now, when this scandal broke, it would make sense that they would not want at all that to come to light, because what that would mean is that the CIA is operating on U.S. soil and manufacturing untraceable weapons to boot,
right,
on the watch of Bill Clinton and with the knowledge of Bill Clinton. So, you know, I think that all of that tied at the hip, George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, and by extension their families. And that's why one of the reasons that we cannot have Jeb Bush, we cannot have Hillary Clinton as our next president.
Yeah, I agree.
If this is true. If this is true.
No more Bush dynasty. We need to break that. And we also got to exclude, chubby boy Chris Christie out of this picture also. Actually, what we need is a hero. What do you think about Texas governor that
You're talking about Rick Perry? Or are you talking Perry. About the coming race?
No, I said it wrong. Not coming. Well, he's coming up because he's saying he's ready for the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, I believe it's going to be Greg Abbott is going to be in the race for governor. I don't believe Perry's running. He's running for
no,
president.
No, Perry isn't. But the reason that he's staying out of the race is because he's planning on running for president. Do you think he can do it?
Well, as somebody who has seen govern, I would rather not have him be the president. I'm not a big fan. I think there are things he has done that are positive. He's certainly not the worst guy in the world, but he is not the guy for these times. I don't believe.
No, I don't either. I don't think he has the popularity either. But so, just off the hat, we're a long ways away from the election. What do you think? You gonna see any stars out there that might rise or?
Well. Yeah, I mean, I think that as much as Ted Cruz is apparently looking to be or testing the waters for running for president, there are three politicians in elected office or have been in elected office I see today that would be that I would like to see all three at the federal level. One is Ted Cruz. I think he's doing a great job in the Senate. I think he should stay there, and I'll tell you why. If Ted Cruz runs for president, we lose a strong conservative in the Senate. Now, Sarah Palin, she's not in office right now, but there has been talk of her running for the Senate seat in Alaska. I think that would be a good move. You've got Mark Begich, I think, is an incumbent Democrat in Alaska, and I think Sarah Palin would defeat him hands down if she ran. That would put Palin and Ted Cruz in the Senate. And for president, I think that the best candidate for president in 2016 would be Scott Walker. Here is a guy who is currently a governor. And so if he runs, you're not taking anything away from the Senate or the House. If he runs, he's the one guy who has a track record in defeating the garbage that we're fighting every day. He is the guy who defeated the unions. He defeated all of that. And he's put his state back on track despite all of the backlash and pressure against him. He's the one guy who has demonstrated that he will not bow when, time for the rubber to meet the road. So that's the kind of guy I think and as good as Ted Cruz has been, I don't think he's demonstrated that yet. We need somebody who's been in an executive position, Scott Walker has, and who has demonstrated that he is willing to fight to the end.
Well, not to go off to on any kind of a tangent yet, because I want your tangent. No, but Ted Cruz, I really like the guy. I really like the guy. I agree with you. How to stay in the Senate, putting Sarah Palin in it, boy, that would be great. That would be a dynamite team. But you have to look at also, the whole bit of birth certificates with Obama is unsettled, but they say there has already been eligibility pointed at him of Ted Cruz because he has a dual citizenship. And so he may not be eligible for president, and it's been brought up by a Democrat.
Even if he is found to be eligible, it is going to be a controversy that the Republicans don't need. Because I guarantee you the left. Even if he became the nominee, it would be relentless. It would be constantly drumming up doubt and suspicion, and even probably, I think quite possibly, working towards some sort of a judge at some point ruling in their favor and pulling back his candidacy. And I won't take that chance, because if that were to happen,
I think a liberal judge would do that. I think the problem that we're having with Barack Obama and his birth certificate thing is we haven't hit a judge that is non-liberal enough to really look at the real evidence. Although I hear that Judge Roy Moore is supposed to be looking at a case, and I think he's in Alabama, I think, and that we may get some pull on that this year.
Well,
anyway,
even if you find, yeah, that's I don't know how that's going to turn out.
I don't know. Well, we got a couple minutes left in this segment, and I haven't even brought up some of the main subject, which is fine. I just wanted you on here to talk. No. What do you think about Lerner yesterday?
Well, I thought there was a huge opportunity missed by Darryl Issa. We know for a fact that he has been informed, and a couple of his other committee members have been informed about the Malik Obama angle to the IRS scandal. And I think that by not introducing that into the public consciousness yesterday, and, you know, he asked her, I think, five questions. And he asked her those five not because he thought she would answer any of them. He knew she wouldn't, especially after she responded after the first one, that she was invoking her Fifth Amendment right. He asked those five questions because those were his top concerns, and he wanted them on the public congressional record. But not one of those questions involved her granting 501c3 status to Malik Obama, who has connections to terrorist individuals and terrorist groups. And I think that that was an opportunity missed in a major way by Darryl Issa. And look at the consequence. What happened? What we are seeing today is that instead of the focus being on Lois Lerner, the focus is on how mean Darryl Issa was to Elijah Cummings, who is nothing short of a communist who was a registered member of the Democratic Socialist Caucus of America. He is a communist, and I don't care what anybody says. There's nothing you could say that could convince me otherwise. The man is, if you're a member of the Democratic Socialist Caucus of America, what else are you? So communists lie, communists smear, communists deceive. Unless you're willing to take them on head on, they're going to beat you. And what happened was he became the spectacle because of his adolescent, prepubescent, commie pinko behavior at that hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. We got about 30 seconds for a break, but I agree. Everything that people don't get it, whether it's our schools, the news media, or whatever, or Barack Obama, it's still a communist plot. Give us some contact information, and we'll go take a break.
You can go to benbarrack.com, BENBARRACK.com, and you can reach me there.
Okay, that's it, folks. That's his radio program that he does, and he also, you can catch some great articles of his over at shoebat.com. And but we will be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Kaplan, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that come from all over the city looking for help. And that help can range from clothing to prayers, or like this one woman that showed up last week. We get a lot of Indians in there. They come up from Oklahoma, and some of them live in Wichita, and they come up from the reservation. But I had this Indian woman come over, and I didn't really recognize her. I don't think she'd been in before, but like I say, though, a lot of Indians come through, and she was just really having a hard time, and she said she needed to talk to me, and so I took her in and counseled with her a little bit, anointed her with oil, and prayed on her, because her sister had died the week before. At first, they told them that it was a matter of, natural causes of it. Now they're saying that it might be a murder involved, or it might be suicide. And so she was really broken up. And she didn't have a regular church that she went to. You know, not that she doesn't believe in Christ, Yeshua. It's just that, you know, a lot of the poor people, you know, just don't feel comfortable in a mainstream church. Let's just say it like that. But anyway, and so I prayed with her and counseled with her, and she was crying and everything. And when she left, you know, her spirit was lifted, and she believed that she had purpose, and you know, it was a good thing. So people come to us for the grief counseling and those kind of things. We're there for the people. That's why the Father put us there, and it takes the heart to do it. But you know, like I say, these are the poorest of the poor. I need your help to keep the mission church open and to get open the women's shelter. It's these people that we minister to, and these people do not have the money to support what we do. And so our congregation is the poorest of the poor. So we need people like you to send donations. A lot of people think, well, I don't have $1,000, and $100, well, that won't really help. Well, yeah, we do need, any size donation helps. It really does, because, you know, while the organized churches over there always say, and government agencies say, they call it Pastor Dan's instead of Messiah's Branch. They say, oh, Pastor Dan's, what are you doing? They're doing a great job over there. They've been over there for a long time. Yeah, well, we're about to complete our 14th year and start our 15th in June. But Do we get help from them? No, we don't get help from them. Once in a while, we do have a few people in Wichita now that are starting to listen to radio after all these years, and I get $10 and $20 and $30 donations, and they usually come on Friday, and that helps out. But we need more than that. I know times are tough for you folks, but remember, even a small donation helps. And the Father will bless you for it if it comes from your heart. But pray about it. And also pray about if you're blessed by these radio programs that you should support airtime, because we sell nothing. And by not selling anything, you know, it goes back to that. Takes a donation to pay for airtime. So pray about that also. Anyway, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you need to, you can simply call me at 620-878-4682. And, wow, I guess we're now back with Ben Barrick, and we're talking about a lot of things. You there with me, Ben?
Yeah. Affirmative.
Affirmative. Boy, that sounded good. Affirmative. Sound like you're a commander on a ship. Affirmative. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
We left out talking about Lois Lerner. I don't know if you were done with that or you were ready to talk about that article I called you about.
No. Yeah, we can talk about what you wanted to talk about. It's that's something else. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What's your article?
It's true. No. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so let me. I'll open it. I'll get the picture. I'll open it. I was going through, and you should go to Shubat.com. And I was going through there, which, by the way, we'll have Ted Shubat on next week talking about the slaughter of the Christians, you know. But I came across an article that Ben had written. And, you know, Ben, I first thought, wow, he's upset about something. And it says, let me open it like this. It says, experts, naive and incompetent when accusing Obama of naivety and incompetence. You basically went off on a tangent. And what was you talking about?
Well, it basically what that is experts, so-called experts, in quotes, are naive and incompetent when they accuse Obama of naivete and incompetence. This is so frustrating because there is this undercurrent, if you will, this willingness or unwillingness, I should say, of pundits, experts, politicians, to take a next step, to take the step, to take the plunge, if you will, into reality. Okay, and what that means is that, and even Rush Limbaugh, he will say, I don't know if Obama's doing all of this intentionally or if he's incompetent, but it really doesn't matter. I, with all due respect, I couldn't disagree more. It absolutely matters, because if he's doing it on purpose, that says something very, very serious. That would mean that the President of the United States is actively working to destroy the country he swore an oath to protect and defend. Now, if you look at Ann Coulter, who, I mean, I've got my issues with Ann Coulter, but
yeah.
She said something on a radio interview recently that I found very interesting. She has been one of the biggest anti-birthers, as if you will, to coin a phrase, anti-birthers out there. She's one who just said, who's always said, drop it, drop it, drop it, don't do it, don't go there. Well, she said on a radio interview not too long ago, let's just assume that Barack Obama was born in a foreign country and was brought up to hate America. What would he be doing differently? And I would ask people to apply that same litmus test to the following premise. If Barack Obama was a Soviet loyalist or had a desire to see the rise of the Soviet Union again, what would he be doing differently? And when you look at it in those terms, you can step back and say, And I remember, I mean, you and I were both back in 2008 before the election, were screaming and yelling about Frank Marshall Davis.
Right.
Frank Marshall Davis was Barack Obama's mentor, Communist Party USA, being investigated by the FBI for 19 years, from 1944 to 1963. He made their security index, which meant in the event of any national emergency, he could be arrested on the spot without any warrants or interrogation, no questions asked, just arrested. That was the index he was on. This guy, Frank Marshall Davis, was a Stalinist, i.e. Joseph Stalin, the mass murderer of the 20th century who killed 50 million people. Now, this guy, Frank Marshall Davis, a Soviet loyalist, mentored Barack Obama for several years, from approximately about 1971-ish, when Barack Obama was about 9 or 10 years old, until he went away to college. And he was marinated in Soviet ideology. So when I see people like Paul Ryan, who I saw the other night, look, pardon me for my lack of English, but look a doofus. Paul Ryan was on TV, and he said something along the lines of, oh, shucks, you know, I still can't believe we lost to this guy. Well, guess what, Paul? You know why you lost to him? Because you don't get it. You don't get it. He said that Barack Obama is naive on foreign policy. Well, let's just for a second, Paul, let's ask each other, you and Barack Obama, between the two of you, which is more familiar with deception? Which is more familiar with the Soviet ideology, the tactics of the Soviets, which is nothing but lies and propaganda and deceit? Which one? Mr. Ryan, I submit to you that you are the one who is naive. You are the one who does not know what the Soviet Union was all about. You are the one who will refuse to admit that Barack Obama is not naive at all. He is not incompetent at all. He knows what he is doing. When you consider that in his formative years, I mean, he was immersed in Islam, but in his post-formative years, he was mentored by a Communist Party USA member, Stalinist. Now, in the middle of this, in 1975, which is right smack dab in the middle of when Barack Obama was being mentored by a Stalinist, none other than Vladimir Putin registered with the KGB. He joined the KGB in 1975. And guess who the KGB was loyal to? Yeah, that's right, Mr. Ryan, Stalin. So
yeah,
Vladimir Putin's grandfather was a cook for Vladimir Lenin and his wife. He was also a cook for Stalin. So you have a familial history between Vladimir Putin and Stalin. You have a familiar history between Barack Obama and a Stalinist named Frank Marshall Davis. This is why relationships matter, Pastor Dan, and this is why I believe the likes of Charles Krauthammer, who the other night went on Bill O'Reilly's show and enumerated all of the things that Barack Obama has done that have been supportive of Vladimir Putin, and then after he was done enumerating all of these, says, huh, gosh, you know, shucks, he's just not competent. Mr. Krauthammer, would you, you know, this is, these guys are the ones who ignored us when we were yelling and screaming about Frank Marshall Davis. For them to admit now that Frank Marshall Davis formed this man's ideology, and I don't mean exclusively. I think I need to underscore that. This is not about Barack Obama exclusively being an agent for a resurrection of the Soviet Empire. This guy has so many characters in his background that there are so many,
right.
You want to talk about tangled webs. There are all kinds of things. This is just one. But for people to point to him as being incompetent is ridiculous. Let's look at Georgia. Back in 2008, in August of 2008, during the Bush administration, Russia invaded Georgia. It was a time of very strained relations between the U.S. and the Russians. When Obama got reelected, what did they do? They started the reset. The reset with Russia, the botched reset button that they used. Why did he do that? Was it naivete? Was it incompetence? Or was it some sort of a solidarity? I would submit that when you look at his history, you have to consider it's an issue of solidarity, not of incompetence. You have to. You have to at least entertain that notion and then go from there. But these people are too afraid to go there. Then you have this deal with Ukraine. You know, Obama, where did Obama go? This administration, if there is ever an administration that understands the use of imagery and the importance of imagery, it is the Barack Obama administration. When you consider, remember when he was pushing Obamacare on the Rose Garden? What did he have behind him?
A bunch of
doctors in lab coats. What did he have at his nomination in 2008? The Greek columns in November.
Oh, yeah.
This guy knows imagery.
Well, the Greek columns. I got to say a second about that. Folks, he stood on a podium with Greek columns, like, you know, here come their Messiah, and they called him that for a couple of years. In fact, some people Barbara Walters even said she thought he was their Messiah, and is just now turning away from that. But wow, yeah, imagery, everything.
Well, and my point in bringing up the imagery issue is look at Ukraine and Crimea. Russia has invaded Crimea, and the Obama administration is pretending to be indignant. They are, I mean, he's being accused of being weak. All right. Well, if he is a pro Frank Marshall Davis, anti-American, despises America, likes Stalinist Soviet Union, well, what else would he do? I mean, what else would he do? Is he going to stand and fight for America? Well, he's given no indication he's going to fight for America. He's destroying our economy. And in foreign policy, Vladimir Putin is on the march. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this man's history. But the point of imagery, Pastor Dan, is Barack Obama a couple of days ago made a statement. And the purpose of his statement was to sound forceful against Putin and about what he's doing in Crimea. Now, when you consider this administration's understanding of imagery, and they do, believe me, they do, where was he when he delivered these supposed strong remarks to Vladimir Putin? He was in a kindergarten classroom behind a podium on an alphabet carpet. Now, what does that communicate to the world? That communicates that the President of the United States has decided to flex his muscle, so to speak, with Vladimir Putin from a kindergarten classroom. Now, this is different than George W. Bush in 9/11. That attack hit when he was in there. This was pre-planned. This man was at this school unveiling a budget that's going to bankrupt us and trying to communicate strength to Vladimir Putin. The imagery speaks for itself. But you've got people like Paul Ryan, you've got people like Bill O'Reilly, you've got people like Charles Krauthammer, who are willing to sit there and look at all of the things that this guy has done and then go, oh, he's incompetent. Guys.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, let's think about it for a second. So for them to be, now, come on, you've got Rush Limbaugh, you've got Ryan, and you mentioned Bill O'Reilly, of all people. But, Sean Hannity, are we led to believe that they can't put the connection together, or Charles Krauthammer, just like we have, or are they just afraid of the truth? What do you think? Are they afraid of the truth?
I think there is a degree of fear there. It's also, it would have to be an admission that they didn't listen when the people were screaming about this stuff in 2008 before the guy got elected. Hannity, to his credit, I think he worked to expose Bill Ayers and Jeremiah Wright, but he just didn't seem to dig enough. There's always these these attempts to point to these associations and say, look at that, look at that, look at that, but then quickly move on. You have to dig into this stuff. You have to shock people. You have to show why this is such a big deal. And I remember trying to get people on Bill O'Reilly's program back in 08 to talk about Frank
right.
Marshall Davis, and nobody wanted to do it. So when he's face to face with that reality now, to admit these things now would also come with an admission that he failed to do his job in 2008. And
right.
the media in general failed to do its job. So plus there's a reluctance to take that next step because of what it would mean. People don't want to think in those terms about the President of the United States. Unfortunately, all of the associations of this guy, including Valerie Jarrett, whose father-in-law was a colleague of Frank Marshall Davis.
You know, let's look at it in another perspective, folks. Let me kind of direct it like this. If you took all of the things that we're talking about and you actually put this in and took away the name Barack Obama and made this into a TV program or movie about a president, and you put all these factors in here, you wouldn't have any problem connecting the dots and saying, this guy's a spy. He's trying to take down America. Who's going to stop him? And because they're really that plain. But in reality, they just don't get it. Back to you.
They don't want to see it. They're you know, it's amazing. I call it the forehead firewall. You know, and it's an unwillingness of people to, you know, Waleed, you talked about Waleed Shabbat earlier. He was on Dennis Miller's show not too long ago talking about the explosive revelations of Malik Obama and his connections to terrorism and being granted 501c3 status by Lois Lerner. And there was a point at which it appeared that Dennis Miller shut down. There was a point at which he admitted understanding what was being said, but couldn't go to the next step and understand the gravity. There's a difference between understanding what's being said to you and understanding the gravity of what's being said to you. There is a huge difference. And until you understand the gravity, you are basically useless, and you should get out of the media business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And part of that is, you know, I think actually underlying, I think a lot of these guys do understand it, but they just, you know, like you say, they just don't want to admit it. And but I do believe that they might, if one of them, if just one of them, let's say Charles Krauthammer right now, he's basically one of the rock stars on Fox News, so to speak. They point to him as an expert. If he would come out and say these things, you know, and he started to get some pretty rough things lately, and he got really attacked by the left. But if he were to come forward and say it, I think you would find other ones falling on. It's just that it's like you got to get the kid's finger out of the dike and let the water flow. Somebody's got to be the first, and somebody's got to do it. What do you think?
That's right. You got to have one guy that's going to break rank and do all this, and then everybody will pile on. But we have not reached that point yet. But there are several people who have that megaphone and have that responsibility and have chosen not to use either one. That is the problem. Now, one other thing on Putin, and here may be an upside to all of this, because Barack Obama's early years had him marinated in Soviet ideology. We can surmise. We can conclude based on his affiliations with Davis. He also had an Islamic immersion. And
right.
This is where I believe if there was a showdown between Putin and Obama, it would probably be over Islam. If you look at Syria, Obama wanted to support the Sunni jihadists. Putin wanted to support Assad, and by extension, the beneficiaries of that were the Christians. In Egypt, Barack Obama wanted to support the Muslim Brotherhood. Vladimir Putin wanted to support el-Sisi, the secular Islamic group that despises terrorism. So in these instances, when you get past Soviet, because I don't think Barack Obama is more loyal to the Soviet. I think he is more loyal to the Soviet mentality than he is to the United States by a long shot. I think that once you get beyond that, he's more loyal to Islamic fundamentalism than he is to Soviet ideology. That's where you have alien versus predator. You know, that's where you have
absolutely.
That's where you have the Soviets versus, say, for example, Turkey. Because what Walid contends is that when the Muslim Brotherhood was overthrown in Egypt, it's been parking in Turkey. That's where it has been, and it's amassing strength. Russia, for its part, taking Crimea, is building its strength in the region, and there could be a showdown between Russia and Turkey. And I don't know about you, but if that day comes, or when that day comes, I'm rooting for Russia. That's not because look at World War II. We aligned with Joseph Stalin against the Nazis. Why did we do that? Was it because Stalin was a good guy? No. It was because the Nazis were so much worse. And guess who the Nazis aligned with? And I know you know this, the Muslim Brotherhood. So here we are on the eve of World War III, possibly, and the United States, I mean, obviously, it will probably be in a post-Obama era. The United States may be in a situation where it must again align with Russia to fight the Nazis of the 21st century, which is the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, and you know, Obama. We did it so many times. Obama's advisors, Muslim Brotherhood, and things. Wow. Well, we're gonna have to go. This sure was a lot for thought, but. Give your website real quick, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to you again.
No problem. It's benbarrick.com, and you can read our latest on the Malik Obama IRS Lois Lerner angle at shoebat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com.
Yeah, and folks, you can also see some articles by Ted Shoebat over there because he's going to be on with us next week. Okay, bye-bye. Thanks for being on. We'll do this again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, folks. And Russia has been really at it. You know, we just found out today from satellite imagery that they have actually, we have imagery of them actually loading something out of their nuclear warehouse onto 30 nuclear bombers that have been parked next to the warehouse. We have that. We have a whole bunch of things, not saying they're getting ready to bomb us, but they're sure showing a sort of strength. And Obama is showing weakness. Anyway, consider the program. Pray for our mission, church. Remember, there's only one God. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, folks, as I started this program, I'll end the program. Truth. That's number one. You know, the Word of God says that liars will get into heaven, and they have their place in the lake of fire. Now, that is a truth. Stick to it. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until 1 hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.